No, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is January 26th, Sunday morning, blizzard morning. And we are going to finish up the Paul alliterations today, near as I can tell anyway, because I do want to get into that one subject that's really stirred my interest and is potentially web family shrinking type of a sermon, because it involves people and things, preachers and teachers and all that. So what I feel like tackling that one, we'll do so next week probably. So this morning, we will conclude this morning, and tonight we have looked at Paul's prenunciations, things that he mentioned before that have actually taken place, and then the things that he has mentioned that have not taken place, but we all know that they will. The preservation of Paul's words, part of the Bible, of course. We looked at Paul's purposes, and I wish people would just be able to look at, who's this Paul guy? What's his purpose? What's going on here? Why is he causing all this trouble? But, well, here's his purposes. And if they could get a hold of those purposes, they would realize what the purpose of their local church ought to be, what the purpose of their preacher ought to be. And in all reality, here's a hint for next week, if I get it done next week. These people that are preaching Paul, to me, don't seem to be following Paul's purposes of the ministry. They get off into some things, and that's just, we'll talk about that later. We looked at Paul's prayers. Tells us to pray without ceasing, but he tells us all the specific things he prayed for. And it's much more than just a new car and bills paid and health and all that stuff. Then we looked at Paul's persecutions this last week. And he went through plenty. And with the video rolling, I'm having to rub my eyes, get that yawn in. Boy, this is not first-class radio Bible, is it? And this morning, we're going to look at the price to pay to follow Paul. We all have to pay a price for this thing. And then we will tonight look at, if all goes well, the pleasures of following Paul. And I know there are a lot of people out there that don't think there's any pleasures in following Paul at all. And those that know they should still don't find any pleasures because they just don't get it. So this morning, the price we have to pay to follow Paul as he followed the risen Savior, that's still the point here. And basically what we do is we just look back at what happened to Paul. And a lot of those things we can relate to already. When we tell people for the first time, or the second time, or the third time, about Paul's teachings and his doctrine, which, by the way, one of these days I'm going to do a sermon on, how do we talk to people? And I am not the answer man when it comes to how to talk to people. I am not the Andrew Carnegie of the Bible preaching guys or the witness people. That's not me. But there has to be something going wrong here because is it all our fault that they're not getting it? No, I don't know. But we still tend to say things, I've learned, in the wrong manner over time. And I hear people, I have people writing to me, and I just think of myself, and I think about them, boy, you must be a Ruckman guy or something. That is so against how Paul wants us to deal with things. So we'll deal with that. But anyway, back to this. Let's try to see if I can stay in the subject here, not be the ADHD preacher today. How do people react? Because that's what it's going to cost us, is how people react to what we tell them. And how will people react when they see in our lives what Paul has done for us? How do we react when we hear Paul preach today? When we hear Paul preach, when you guys out there preaching Paul, how do we handle that? How do we react? some of the things that, believe it or not, this is going to sound odd, but I've learned that I want to follow Paul, I want to follow the risen Savior. But I'm coming to realize that if we want to follow Paul, we're either going to lose some family, wife, children, relatives, whatever, or you're going to lose some Paul. You're going to lose the ability or the opportunity to truly follow Paul like we want, like we're going to want if we don't already want that. So, why would I say something like that? Well, let's look here at first. See if I can find it here. This is just winging my thoughts here. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 7. Yeah. Here's what happens with us. You know, we get married in our lives, we have our children, we have our families, we have our jobs, our careers, all the things that take place in the past, you know. And we get into religion. Either you're a Knox follower, a Hiles follower, or a Ruckman follower, or Billy Graham. I mean, anybody out there gets a following. And then all of a sudden you get a hold of this Paul stuff. I call it the Paul stuff. Remember, we started with a greater commission. Not the great commission, but the greater. Paul is a greater commission. It's beyond the great commission. And started preaching the doctrinal stuff, and it was just exciting stuff, the spiritual circumcision, as we still call it. I guess I shouldn't call it that. Operation made without hands. We get into imputation. We get into how we handle sin. There's no more law, so there's no law. There is no sin. There is no transgression, stuff like that. And it's exciting things. But then we get into Timothy and Titus, and we realize that, you know, people don't want that sort of a thing. Even though, between the last 50 and 100 years, therefore, who knows, I don't have the exact count, but that's what Paul's teachings did to a Christian. They realized they needed to put their faith in Christ, and then they would get right on in their Bibles and would read the Paul stuff, and they would learn to live the Christian life, and that's what Paul's life is all about. That's all it is. The whole manner of life has shifted today from being a Christian, according to Paul's teachings, has shifted back to the Jewish gospel teachings, and that's a struggle. Okay, so my point is this. The price we have to pay to follow Paul sometimes is we can't follow Paul. We can't. And the point I was trying to make here was Paul says here, "For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide, even as I." Then he goes on and explains, well, you know, if you can't stay away from somebody physically, then you better get yourself married before it gets you all messed up, you know. And there's some things in there about divorce that people are shocked at when they read it carefully. He says in verse 33, "I have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife." And he says the same thing about pleasing her husband. So once we have our family life established, kids, religion, whatever it is, we choose to get out of that as the man or the woman or the wife or whatever. Or, I guess, even the teenagers catch on to this stuff. But nobody else in the family does. If you're not careful, you're going to lose your entire family. And Paul says, listen, if you want to care for the things of the Lord, I mean, that's well and fine or whatever they say. But if you have a family, if you have a wife, if you have a husband, you're going to have to take care of their needs. And they're going to have to take care of your needs. So we can't suddenly arrive in heaven down here on this earth because we all have our flesh, we have our physical needs, we have our fights, we have our arguments, and we shouldn't. If we're going to follow Paul, it's like there's no need for argument, et cetera, et cetera. But that stuff's going to happen. And if we go to here Romans 14, let's just go to Romans 14. This is my experience part of my sermon. This is what I'm realizing, which is tough. Because it affects your pride, for one thing. And also, because you give up, you have to give in on some things. Or it affects your relationship with God. Not Him with you, but yours with Him. Because you can't be the man that we suddenly learn how we should have been. Because if you just overnight turn into this Bible-following, Bible-believing, good, godly man who's got the handle on church, we're quitting church, honey, we're not going to do this anymore, and da-da-da-da, that isn't just what Paul is all about. And that could be another sermon in itself. But if we're not, or the wife gets a hold of this stuff, and she says, honey, I got to quit working, boom, I'm not going to do this, and this is your job, blah, 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 and the guy's not into this stuff, then you're causing some problems. How about your kids? You know, it's always had bothered me back in the Baptist days when somebody with 10 kids or 5 kids or 15 kids or whatever, or somebody that has no kids, but when they go out to the mission field, they start having kids all over the place, and it started costing a fortune to have that family out there because they were called to that countryside. And yet the kids have nothing to do with it. They want nothing to do with it, and they're lonesome. They don't understand. They're living out in the middle of Nome, Alaska, for example, or if they're down in Paraguay or something like that, and the kids have to suffer with these malaria mosquitoes and piranha in the fishing pole and all this kind of stuff. I just always wondered in those days why the dad had to be so suddenly called to some place when it's going to destroy his family. Or his family just isn't spiritual enough to do this, see? Well, it's the same thing with Paul. The price it's going to cost us to pay Paul might be some of following Paul. We are so hooked in our jobs, in our economy, in our fellowship with the world, in our families, in our kids, in our husbands and wives, the things that we've done for years and years. We can't just pull the plug suddenly. It says there in verse 20 of chapter 14 of Romans. You remember that verse? We've been talking about that one a lot here lately. For meat, destroy not the work of God. You don't think people don't think that God doesn't want our children? Well, sure He does. You don't think our God wants our wife or our husband, whichever you aren't, you know? Well, sure He does. But if we go blasting in there with our Paul stuff, and again, there's a whole lot of more things to consider there, but just in general, if we just suddenly become the man with Paul, we could destroy our family. Or, if we want to hang in there and be careful and be slow and be subtle and just slowly teach our kids and, you know, not just shock the family into hate of God, then we just can't follow Paul exactly like we'd like. And Paul says that. Listen, if you want to serve the Lord, you know, as much as you can, you need not be married. But if you get married, just remember, you're going to have to provide for their needs. And as a result of doing that, some things we're not going to be able to do, according to Paul. And maybe I should throw in the word, yet. All in due time. I knew that guy wouldn't stay. Anyway. So, yeah, it's a thing that we have to deal with, is the fact that if we want to serve and follow Paul, we might have to serve and follow Paul not as much as we want. So we'll lose some Paul in our life. That make sense? I look out to the congregation and their heads are nodding up and down. Yes. And one guy goes, I don't think I got that. And the kids are going, what is he talking about? And they got their music in their heads, in their earphones, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, we can lose Paul if we want to follow Paul more than we can fit into the situation or whatever. Here's something else that's going to cost us. Very similar to my first point. It can cost us judgment seat of Christ rewards. It can. Again, following the same thing. If we do some of these things that we have learned in the meat department of following Paul, I don't believe following Paul is meat, but we are so ingrained into this world, we are so hooked by this world, our flesh is so engulfed by all the technology and all the stress and all the stuff that's going on here, and the clothes, you know, the immodesty, and how you ladies have to behave around other ladies, or they just kind of kick you out of the corral, you know, kind of a thing. But again, there are some things that we just can't do because it would be considered meat to these other people, so we lose some of our liberty. We have liberty. We just have liberty. There is nothing unlawful. All things are lawful. There we go. All things are lawful. But if we do some of those things, again, we could lose our family. And if we do some of those things and they cause somebody to stumble, or it's not the right thing at the right time, or it's because it's a power over us that we can't deal with it, or we do it just in the flesh, you know, with this great idea of, well, I'm a Paul guy, so I can do this, so I really enjoy doing that, even though I know I shouldn't. There is no law that says I can't do it. All things are lawful. You're burning up some judgment seat of Christ stuff there, guy, because it still doesn't follow what Paul teaches. We still shouldn't cause somebody to stumble. That may be family. That may be a husband, maybe wife, maybe kids, maybe your job, maybe your bosses. You know, we still get this training that we all have had about Christ comes to conquer. So let's go out there and let's win the world to Jesus, and that's not Paul's purpose. It is not. First of all, we don't have to be born again. It's the church, Israel church. That's what that is all about. So that's nothing for us to deal with. And the concept of winning. Now, I know Paul says that. I realize Paul uses that phrase. But what it has turned into nowadays is revelation. We're going to win people to Christ, but we're going to win them. I shouldn't say we. The trend is to win people to Christ and conquer the world. And that's Revelation chapter 6. That's the purpose of the Antichrist coming down, is to conquer. Yes, Jesus, the real Christ, when he comes down, fights and there's a war that goes on. But he's not coming to conquer. He's already overcome. He's already the conqueror. And we find ourselves acting like we did when we were trying to put forth the false Christ, not knowing it at the time. And we switch over to the Paul stuff, and we try to do the same thing. Not remembering, of course, or not reading, or not realizing that in Timothy, he says in chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And there's how you witness. We're just supposed to teach. And Paul says, preach the word. I realize that. So I'm not saying there's a note of that stuff, but what we find ourselves doing is preaching and teaching and witnessing and contending for the faith, which is a tribulation verse, by the way, and doing it in such a manner that we actually lose our liberty. We lose rewards based on our liberty. We lose some Paul if we're going to try to fix that. We're going to have to give up on some Paul stuff. And that's a pride thing when a husband's got to give up some stuff and go someplace that he doesn't want to go. But in the meantime, you got to go because you can't just pull the plug, or like they say, the baby will go down the tube. I realize that too. Unless, of course, you can show your family or your friends or your bosses or your neighbors or whoever it is that it's a scriptural thing and you're just trying to follow through with God, and the kids and the wife or the mother or whatever, the husband, whoever, understands rightly dividing and makes sense to them, then they jump in as a family. Wouldn't that just be something? Okay, so enough of those three things. Those are the three general things. Losing Paul by following Paul. Losing judgment seat of Christ rewards because we abuse our liberty. And then the third, I'm not sure I made it as a point, but we're going to lose out on sharing our meat. Because we're dealing with veggie Christians, if they're Christians at all. And so what we learned about this stuff in this Bible, which is just absolutely beyond earthly understanding, is spectacular stuff. And you try to tell that to somebody to get them excited about Paul, they just figure, man, where'd you get that from? What are you talking about? He fulfilled the law, so now all things are lawful. What do you mean? He just made it so everybody can just do stuff they want? You're gone. You're nuts. And there comes in the rest of our points here. What else is it going to cost us to follow Paul? Well, let's see here. We have to remind ourselves how popular Paul's teachings were and realize ourselves that they haven't gained in popularity yet. Some people actually like it. They get excited when they hear it. And this is a puzzlement to me. I shouldn't say it's a puzzlement to me. I know exactly what's going on. You know, they get excited and they got to go home and they got to show it to their pastor. Man, did you know that we're supposed to be following Paul? Like the pastor hasn't picked up on that? Well, he hasn't. He has not picked up on that. But he knows about people who have, and he will begin to put that person in their place in his office. Yeah, I've heard that stuff about follow Paul, but you know they preach two gospels, you know, and they use this, it's the King James Bible thing, you know, and they call it rightly dividing, and they're just really nuts, Mabel. They're just going off the rocker. But aren't we supposed to follow the teachings of the risen Savior? Oh, we do, Mabel. We talk about things in Timothy. Have I not mentioned Timothy before? Well, yeah, you have. Have I not mentioned Titus? Well, yeah, you have. I don't think you do much of chapter 2, but, you know, it's just... Now, Mabel, you're getting smarty mouth again. So, and where was Jesus? He was in Gospels. Is that not, you know, he was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's the life of Jesus. Don't you think we should be following that? Are you going to turn yourself away from that stuff, Mabel? Oh, no, no, no. And then you never hear from him again because of the pastor. And, you know, they hate it. There are people that just downright despise and hate the teachings of Paul. Remember the conspiracy against Paul. We're not going to eat or drink or anything until we get rid of this guy. I mean, they hated him. Well, congratulations, people. Paul is now dead. I mean, his physical body, but we still got his teachings. Isn't that exciting? Here's a political thing. Here's how they destroy. This is how the media or the people that hate whatever it is you have or what you believe or what you teach, here's how they hate it. Okay, they find a target. They pick a target. They find something in your life that they can make an issue of, or the teaching. They can make an issue of it. They don't care about anything else. They'll find a target in your life that they can pick at. Okay. Then it says pick a target. Then they say they freeze it. They won't argue about it. It's just done. Case is closed. Then they personalize it. Then they go after you as a person. And then they polarize it, which gets people to look at it just totally opposite of what it is you said. And I was looking at that from this political guy, and I thought, man, that's exactly how they do it, you know. They find something they can make an issue of and don't even care what the rest of the teachings of Paul are. Here, just like this one guy asked me this question. I'll deal with this in a sermon one of these days here. He writes and says, are Peter and the other apostles accursed because they preached a different gospel, according to Paul in Galatians? Now, you know this guy who wrote this. I may be wrong, but this person who wrote this, and does he not realize all the other things that talk about being accursed? And do they really honestly think that Peter and the other apostles fit that description in there? And you may say, well, yes, they do. Well, we'll save it for a sermon. No, they don't quite. But my point is when he found an issue that he thought, and that he could get into this thing and pick this thing apart, pick the target, freeze it, make it a non-issue so it doesn't matter what you say for an answer, go after me as a person, and then polarize it so everybody hates it. which you'll see happens here. There are those few people, such as you folks, who love it, love the Paul doctrine. It's just the greatest stuff, you know, since a hamburger. It's fantastic stuff. But then there are those people out there that love the doctrine of Paul, but they hate the reproof, the correction, and the instruction in righteousness. They hate that part of it. They love Paul's writings, but they sure don't like Timothy or Titus. Especially Titus chapter 2. So that's what we're dealing with here. So we're going to pay a price to follow Paul. Like I started out by saying, we're going to listen to Paul even. And judgment seat rewards. And we're not going to be able to share our meat like we'd like. Somebody brought me over 5 pounds of hamburger and two tenderloins and two something else. They're cattle people. And I just think that's great because we don't have to deal with meat that's been, you know, mass produced for all that stuff that goes on. But they were able to share their meat. And that's a cool thing. They found somebody who would like to eat the meat. So until we can find somebody that likes to eat the meat that we have learned from Paul, that meat can actually choke somebody and block the work of God in somebody's life. So we got to keep that stuff to ourselves sometimes. Yeah, we do. Okay, so if we go to Acts chapter 9, verse 21, there's a story we worked on last week. We won't go through this story again. Acts chapter 9, verse 21 to 24, but make note of that if you have not read that whole story. But we realized by looking at these things that people were very amazed at how Paul had changed. Hey, weren't you the guy that was just out there beating Christians, da-da-da-da? And now look at what you're doing. Hey, isn't that you that used to be down at the bar all the time after school, or hey, isn't this you, ma'am, that used to wear stuff like you used to wear and talk? How you behaving so much differently at this restaurant? Isn't that you? Are you a different person here? You know, they take note. They amaze at how much Paul had changed. Funny thing is, they were confounded by it. How could something like this happen to you? You know, Andrea, you were brought up. How could you change your life like this? Gary, North Carolina. Julie, Sam. You know, your life has changed so much. What's gotten into you anyway? See, and that's where we got to go back to our constantly be willing to learn here that sometimes the meat of our changing our life can cause other people's problems. Maybe it's how we present ourselves. Maybe it's how we talk to people like we do. Do we still pull the requinitis out of us and still give them the blast and that kind of a thing? Maybe our witnessing isn't going to get us an ounce of reward in judgment seat of Christ because we're not doing it based on Paul's teachings. These guys on the street. I don't think Paul pushes that at all. And so these guys that are street working out there yelling at everybody for what they're doing and all this kind of stuff. I don't know. But here's my point. What's this going to cost us? Well, the rest of that story, Acts chapter 9, 21 to 24, they tried to kill him. You know, they were shocked how much he had changed. They couldn't figure what it was he was trying to say. It was pretty obvious what he was trying to say. So they just tried to kill him. They wanted to kill him so badly that it says there that they watched and laid wait day and night. We got people out there that want to shut us up so badly they can taste it. You've got people in your family, your neighborhood, in your circle of life, whatever, they do not want to hear what you have to say. Whether you've told them that before ahead of time, or maybe you've shown them. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, one of my many, many favorite verses, I guess. I shouldn't say favorite, but one of my many. Well, they're all favorite. Okay. Let's just go to 1 Thessalonians 1:9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And if you do that, and people see that in your life, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost. These folks wanted to kill Paul. The folks that you are this way to, they want to kill you. Do they want to physically kill you? It's hard to say. I doubt that far. You know, but they ignore you. They reject you. They push you away. They leave. They disappear from your circle, you know. You get fired. They won't hire you, whatever. That's being killed. Try to kill them. Now, if we go to Nehemiah, y'all remember Nehemiah chapters 1 through 6? I bring this up every once or twice a year. If you want to find out what the procedure is going to be for people to try to shut you down, if you're going to try to improve your wall, W-A-L-L, by improving your walk and learning the stuff you learned from Paul, then the procedure that the enemy out there is going to do is, I guarantee you, is Nehemiah chapter 1 through chapter 6. I guarantee it. This is one of my favorite learn practicality from your Bible messages, if we were to talk about Nehemiah again. You just go to the website, type in Nehemiah, there'd be plenty of stuff there from me on this thing. But if you've never done that, you've never been part of our sermons on this Nehemiah stuff, it's chapters 4, 5, and 6 where it really gets obvious, but it's 1 through 6, chapters 1 through 6. You just read that and put yourself in that place. Chapter 4, 1 to 3, they will mock you. Chapter 4, 7 to 8, they will conspire to stop you. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. They will sneak in your life amongst the rubbish of your life. They will sneak in there. If you don't, when we want to do our life change, we can't just do a new life. We got to get rid of the rubbish that we've got. Or the enemy is going to sneak in during that rubbish. This is what you get from Nehemiah. Nehemiah wanted to fix the wall. And he was challenged by these people, by these events. Sanballat, there we go, and Tobiah. And they mocked Nehemiah. They conspired to stop him. They planned it. They snuck in amongst the rubbish. And it's funny because in chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, issue in that chapter is finances. Yeah, finances, a real big kicker for families here. Then they'll slander you in chapter 6, and they'll cause you to sin, or in our case, cause you to do something you shouldn't have been doing. And then they got you. I look back at people I know that tried to do the right thing. Well, I know that took place. I know that happened. I know that took place. Yeah, the money's an issue. And I left one out. They try to get you to compromise with them. I've seen that happen to people. And then they'll slander you and they'll cause you to do it wrong. They'll cause you to mess up. They'll just prove. Then they say to you, I knew you couldn't do it. Oh, that kind of stuff bugs me. Okay, so it's going to cost us to follow Paul. Now remember, tonight we're going to talk about the pleasures of Paul. The pleasures of following Paul. But for right now, the price that it's going to pay is going to cost us here. Well, we look at Acts chapter 13, verse 16 to 50. There's one if you haven't read yet you should read. You'll see all sorts of practical applications in there. The Gentiles wanted to hear what Paul had to say. The whole city responded to the word of God. Wouldn't that be something? The whole city caught on to this stuff. No. Look at what happens when the whole city responded. They wanted to hear the word of God. But they were filled with envy. Contradicted and blasphemed against what Paul was saying. The Gentiles started to believe it. But the Jewish people, you know, the church-going religious Jewish teaching people, stirred up the devout and honorable women in their little crew there. And then some of the fathers, founding fathers in your state or whatever, and persecuted those guys so bad they had to leave. They had to leave. Yeah, that could happen. What price do you have to? What price could you possibly pay? Well, you could possibly lose your job over this. I'm not sure that would be a smart decision, unless you got a good backup, or that they're making you doing some really horrible stuff. I don't know. Teaching in a public school to me is quite horrible. When you see what they're not learning, and Yeah, it's not a pretty picture. So let's go down to Acts 14. Again, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. And then that just brings up a thought to me here. Why are they willing to be stirred up? I'm sure what they had to say wasn't true. But you would think these Gentiles would be a little stronger from what they've been hearing. I mean, you would think our church-going people, our Baptists and our Lutherans and our Methodists and our even the Catholics, you would think that they would understand what rightly dividing would mean, but they don't. They are so far from truth, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Oh, that's where we're going. That's what we're into here. Okay, let's not belabor this thing. We know the answers to this stuff. Okay, I remember when I first got to Ohio, a pastor there in that town had already known about me before I got there, and he'd already done his damage. Took care of that. So these religious people will stir up other people. Hey, did you know that Paulson has a website that's got some pretty radical, dumb teachings on there? No, I didn't know that. Get them stirred up. Yeah, happens to us all. Okay, we could keep going into stories. For example, Acts 16:16-24. They made the public see when Paul's teaching took away their gains. Remember that story? You know, I mean, Paul, he's been out here to Asia. He has destroyed our bookstores, our Christian bookstores. Not only that, he's mocked our religion. Not only that, he's mocked our God, our goddess, I mean. And they complained because they were troubling the city. Yeah, when you only got 200 some people in this town, it doesn't take much to get reputation tossed around town. Church guy, preacher, pastor. First it came out I was a minister. And I said, well, you know, I really was not a minister. I preached and I taught some stuff. See, they just don't care. Okay, keep going here. Acts 17:3-6. Some of them did believe. Some of them went with Paul and Silas. And it says not a few of the chief women. Yes, well, some ladies got a hold of Paul, like I know one here, two here, three here. You know, so that's a good thing. But those that did not believe, they moved with envy. And they couldn't get after Paul, so they went after one of Paul's members, Jason. Well, they're mean people that don't want to hear this stuff. What's it going to cost us? I could preach some stuff that would cost you something back there. Oh, I have, haven't I? Yes, okay. We go to Acts 17:32. What's it going to cost? These guys were mocked. It's just like Nehemiah. The first thing they did to Nehemiah was they just mock him. Acts 19:23-29. Okay, this is the one where when Paul got out there in the whole of Asia, turned over a new leaf, got rid of the bookstores and the whole spiel, you know, the religious stuff they're making money on. I tell you, they were full of wrath. The city was filled with confusion. And the people were in one accord. One of the things I used to say back when I was pastoring in Washington was, hey, listen, you are both so mad at me about something, at least I got you guys working together. Which didn't only make them matter. You know. Here's Festus. Festus says to Paul, you're just nutty in a fruitcake. You're mad. You've got people that think you're just nuts. Well, I did. I remember that short series I did a while ago. Things that we preach that will make people think we're nuts. I mean, how's Christ going to do? Take our soul and separate it from our physical body so then it can be clean? And that's what it says it does. This stuff all boils down to a King James Bible. This is the only place you'll find this stuff is in a King James Bible. And is it one of the newest ones? No, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This was the first one. It's been around for over 400 years. Nothing's changed on it except people have tried to change it. And that'll tell you about yourself. It'll search your heart. It'll work in your life. da-da-da-da. Okay, so that's been... We're nuts. We're nutcakes. You really think you can get away with doing that? That doesn't help when we go off and we do something that the religious world or the modern world doesn't think a Christian ought to do, because I thought you said you were one of them there Christians or whatever. Can you do that as a Christian? Yeah, see. Then we see in Acts chapter 28, verse 22 to 24, some believed, some did not. They agreed not among themselves. They fought amongst themselves. And they left. Just they left. So what's it going to cost us? Well, we know Paul says that we're going to suffer persecution. We know that. It's going to cost us possibly our family if we're not careful. And even if you're careful, you could probably lose your family. There's a big price to pay here. And if we just look at what it is that Paul paid, then we're going to experience some of the same things ourselves. So we must be careful. We all know that. We all know. I don't need to tell you what you've lost since you've gotten a hold of Paul teaching. Since you first got a King James Bible, that stirred the mud. Then when you went King James Bible only, that stirred the mud up more. I'm going through my account. Then you heard about tough hardcore preachers. Well, that was good for me. I'm a man. Then we heard about this rightly dividing, sort of. Then we finally really heard about it. Now we're King James only. Paul only. I'm not going to say Paulson only. I know a lot of people float around from different Paul people, but I'm going to talk about that here this next week. I'm not sure people are aware of who they're palling around with when it comes from the source of Paul's teachings. Are they following Paul's purposes? So, it's just going to cost us. What did it cost you when you first just switched over? Man, it cost us a lot right there. And it's only gotten worse, hasn't it? It's only gotten worse. Anyway. Well, folks, we'll stop there.